tend to think that wealthy individuals always make the right financial decisions, but is that always the case? Hi, I'm Rob West. The truth is, folks with a high net worth can sometimes make financial mistakes just as easily as the rest of us, and perhaps with even worse consequences. Cole Pearson shares several of them today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Cole Pearson joins us again today. He's president of Investment Solutions at One Ascent, a family of companies seeking to help folks align their investments with their Christian values. We're also proud to say that One Ascent is an underwriter of this program. Cole, great to have you back.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure to be back, and One Ascent's honored to support the program.
Cole, as you know, in the past, we've reported on some of the smart decisions the wealthy make that we can all learn from. I guess it's only fair to talk about some of the mistakes they make as well, huh?
I'd definitely say so. I think it's also a lot easier to learn from the mistakes of others, right?
That's right.
Even the wealthy or high net worth individuals, they make the same common mistakes that most of us make that undermine our financial success. So for most people, wealthy or not, having a financial advisor can help you avoid some of these mistakes we'll talk about in just a moment.
Well, let's dive into those right now. What is the first one?
The first one would be not updating estate plans regularly. And again, this applies not just to the wealthy. As people accumulate wealth, their estate planning needs change, and failing to update those plans can lead to unintended consequences. That could be probate, unforeseen taxes, legal challenges for heirs, among other problems. The greater the estate, the greater the need to keep the estate planning up to date.
No question about that one. Now, I know the next one relates to tax strategy. Share that with us.
The mistake that high net worth individuals make is not having one, not having a tax strategy. Everyone should be aware of the taxes that they'll have to pay and take advantage of tax minimizing opportunities. But again, all the more so for wealthy individuals. They're subject to a variety of taxes, and proper tax planning can help minimize those liabilities, but also maximize after-tax income and the opportunity to be generous during their lifetime.
That's really helpful. Now, I know this next one, Cole, is something that a lot of folks might miss, and it's not diversifying their income. Explain that.
That's true. People often tend to accumulate wealth through a single source of income. Most of the time, that's their full-time job. And so a lesson we can learn from wealthy individuals and mistakes potentially is thinking about the business or the investment portfolio. If we don't diversify our income streams, that can leave us vulnerable to market fluctuations or other economic risks. But anyone could benefit from thinking of ways to diversify income. Again, proper diversification is biblical. We learned that from Ecclesiastes. Diversifying our income can help people weather economic storms and ensure financial stability.
Yeah, that's a really important idea. All right, the next mistake is one that, of course, anyone at any income level can make, but the wealthy are more prone to it. Wouldn't you agree, Cole?
I would. The wealthy are always in danger of lifestyle inflation, which is the tendency to increase spending as income increases. So while the wealthy may have more disposable income, increasing spending at any income level can quickly erode wealth and jeopardize long-term financial goals. It's important to set a finish line out there for ourselves and control our spending.
Yeah, your spending will always rise to your level of income unless you protest to the contrary. All right, we've got time for one more. Share it with us.
Sure. The last common mistake that we see that undermines financial success is passing on not just the valuables, but the wealthy fail to pass on the values to the next generation. Right. And so many times families, we pay close attention to all the things that we've just discussed, the planning for the estate, the taxes, the diversification, even our spending, but we completely neglect an intentional approach to the values, the legacy that we hope to pass on to our children, our grandchildren. And so as Christians, we know that our financial decisions are stewardship decisions and that the resources God's entrusted to us, they can be used as a tool to make an eternal impact. So one of the ways we can intentionally prepare to pass on values and not just the valuables is by incorporating them into our planning, into our investing, and our giving decisions, and teaching our children and grandchildren to do so early. You know, when you think about it, our values, they inspire how we live, how we spend our time, who we spend our time with. At One Ascent, we think that you ought to allow your values to inspire how you steward your wealth as well, including the types of companies you invest in and own.
I love that. So much great information there, Cole. We really appreciate you stopping by, my friend.
Thanks, Rob. Great to be here.
Folks, if you want to explore a new way of investing that aligns your values with your faith, just go to oneascent.com and click on Analyze My Investments. That's oneascent.com. Back with your questions after this. Stick around.
My father was so warm and gracious and loving and forgiving. He gave me unconditional love, and he gave it to all of us.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Ruth Graham.
I told the story when at his funeral that I had married the second man after mother and daddy said, don't do it. Don't, you know, let's wait and see what this man's like. And I went ahead anyway, headstrong and willful.
Wow.
Married him anyway. And within 24 hours, I knew it was a big mistake. And I had to flee the state. So I had to go home to mother and daddy. And I wondered, what were they going to say to me? What was I going to say to them? And would they say, we told you not to? You made your bed, now you have to lie in it. We're tired of fooling with you. And as I rounded the bend in my parents' driveway, my father was standing there. When I got out of the car, he said, welcome home.
More from Ruth at FamilyMinute.org.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Helping you make God your ultimate treasure, this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's right, the rest of the program is yours with whatever is on your mind today, financially speaking. Again, 800-525-7000, whether it's living within your means, maybe it's getting out of debt once and for all, maybe it's finally getting around to establishing that emergency fund, or maybe it's giving more wisely, or perhaps it's saving for the future and investing. How do you navigate this market? Well, we'd love to tackle any and all of those when you call 800-525-7000. Coming up a little later in the broadcast, our good friend Bob Dahl will stop by. He's a Wall Street veteran. He manages billions of dollars. He's a frequent contributor on Fox Business, and he joins us each week with his market commentary. We'll find out how those the earnings reports are going. Over 80% of the S&P 500 companies have reported.
How are those numbers looking? Bob will update us. Also, what about the great wealth transfer that's coming? I've heard numbers as high as $68 trillion. The millennials will be five times wealthier than they are today, 10 years from now. How is all of that going to affect the economy? And what is the bull and bear case today for market action in the future? We'll get Bob's take on all of that and more a little later in our broadcast. We will be taking your questions here in just a moment. We'll dive in at 800-525-7000. So go ahead and call right now, get in the queue, and we'll get to those questions as soon as we can. In the news today, the New York Federal Reserve Bank's quarterly report on household debt and credit is expected to show that credit card debt hit a new record during the three-month period from January to March. That's smashing a previous high of $1.13 trillion owed on credit cards. Listen to this. From 2021 to the end of 2023, credit card balances skyrocketed by a staggering 47%, marking the most rapid three-year climb on record. This swift escalation demands immediate attention. Of course, the ongoing inflation crisis is one reason consumers increasingly rely on credit cards to pay their bills. The rise in credit card usage and debt is particularly concerning because interest rates are so high right now, at least based on the last 20 years, probably not much higher on average over the long haul. But according to Bankrate's database, and that goes back to 1985, the average credit card annual percentage rate, or APR, is hovering at around 20.66%. That's near a record high. If people carry debt to compensate for steeper prices, they could pay more for items in the long run. For instance, if someone has $5,000 in debt, which the average American does, current APR levels would mean that it would take about 279 months and, listen to this, $8,124 in interest to pay off that $5,000 debt if they're making the minimum payment. So experts are encouraging credit card holders with debt to explore their options. Let me share with you my preferred approach to getting out of credit card debt once and for all. It's not debt consolidation, where you take out a new loan, roll them all together, hoping to get a lower interest rate. My experience is that doesn't solve the problem that got you there in the first place, which is lifestyle spending beyond your means. It just takes the pressure off so you don't have to do the hard work to change your habits and your disciplines. That's the first issue. The second issue is, even if that interest rate comes down, we often extend those loan consolidation paybacks longer, which means we could end up paying the same or more in interest. So I don't like that. I don't like debt settlement. That's just a mess. That's where they essentially get you to stop paying. You get into a past due status, which is going to trash your credit, could involve you getting into certainly collections, possibly even a legal judgment. And then they're going to try to come in and negotiate a reduced payback or payoff. That's not an option I would even consider. So what do I do then? Well, the third option is something called debt management. This is where you use a credit counseling program. Now, here's the thing. This is not something that's negotiated. This is already in place. Credit counseling programs already exist. You would just slide into one of these programs. They would cut your interest rate, often in half or more. You'd pay a level monthly payment to your existing creditor. The card is closed. And in doing so, level monthly payment, much reduced interest rates, on average, you're going to pay that back 80% faster. This is the approach I like because it's ultimately going to change your habits. You're going to get a budget. You're going to stay on that budget. You're going to pay each month. It's going to develop new rhythms. You're going to pay it back 80% faster, save a ton in interest. And I think it's the plan that will ultimately allow you to make a lifestyle change at the same time you're paying back the debt. If you want to know where to go for that, just head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Our friends there have worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners. All right, let's dive into your questions today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to, Montano in Texas. How can I help?
Good morning, Rob. Thank
Hello.
You for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me well?
I can.
Yeah, my question is, I was a 5-year-old retired driver, and should my SSS monthly benefit be reduced or deducted because I have some income from CDs or and investments?
No. Your Social Security benefits are not driven by your income or your investments. So essentially, you're going to get whatever benefit is coming to you based on your work record, and it's driven by what's called the high 35. So they're going to look at your highest 35 years of earnings where you paid FICA taxes, and that's going to determine what benefit level you get. And as long as you wait until at least full retirement age to take the benefit, which you're well beyond that because that's either 66 or 67, then you're, no matter how much income you have, whether it's through, W-2 income or passive income like interest or appreciation in stocks, capital gains, that has no bearing on your Social Security. The only thing that it could affect is how your Social Security benefits are taxed, not the benefit itself, it's the taxation. So they look at your combined income, and if you file as an individual and your combined income is between $25,000 and $34,000, up to 50% of your Social Security benefits could be taxed. And if it exceeds $34,000, and this is combined income, then it could be up to 85% of your benefits are taxed. If you're married filing jointly, those numbers are higher. But that's the only effect it could have is the taxation, not the benefits themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's getting sense, but it's a little bit confused. So my income now is not only from Social Security, but also income from investments, stocks, and CDs.
Right. Right.
So my income from investments should not affect or influence what I would be receiving from my Social Security.
Doesn't affect how much you receive. It will affect, depending on how much you're receiving, it will affect whether you're taxed on your Social Security benefits and at what level. But it has to do with the taxes, not the benefits. So you can earn as much as you want in interest income and investment income and W-2 income from working. That has no bearing on your Social Security benefits. It's whether or not you're going to be taxed on those benefits. Thanks for your call, Montano. Richard, coming your way after the break. Stay with us.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Of 1.5 million children from the Holocaust, the only two names we heard that day were the names of the same two sisters that I had printed off and put in my purse.
The Joy Lucius book titled Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust, is the miraculous story of family, faith, and friendship. It's available now at resources.afa.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind today, financially speaking, we'd love to hear from you. We've got lines open. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Richard. Thanks for your call, sir. How can I help?
Thank you so much. I just first lead off by saying how wonderfully you fill the shoes of your predecessor, Dan Celia.
Thank you.
I didn't know what was going to happen to the show, and God led you to the station, and you've been a blessing to so many people. So thank you for that. And my question is, my mother-in-law passed away and left a small inheritance in two forms, one in a CD, and I understand that that's no tax implications because it's an inheritance tax. The other one I'm a little unsure about, and that is an IRA, and the distribution is about $9,800, and I don't know if there's a requirement to have withholding taxes, and what would be the tax basis, if any?
No, there is no IRA, capital gains inside an IRA, so you're just going to pay tax as ordinary income on any distributions from the inherited IRA. And the Secure Act 2.0 made some changes in the rules with regard to that distribution. And so you're just going to want to check with your CPA on that. As a non-spouse IRA, if the account holder died after January 1st of 2020, then the Secure Act requires the entire balance of the inherited IRA to be distributed or withdrawn by the end of the 10th year following the original owner's death. There are a few exceptions, but that's generally the case. But as that money comes out, you are not going to pay any capital gains on any of that, so you don't need to know the basis. It's just every distribution is going to generally be taxed as ordinary income.
Well, then when I've got to tell the advisor whether I want a lump sum or do the MDR, I'm just going ahead and do the lump sum and have her withhold, I think, 22%. That's the tax bracket I'm in, and just have that done with. So when I file my taxes, that part's already been sitting in the treasury. I hate giving the government a free loan, but it's less painful trying to come up with it later. You know how expenses expand to fill funds available. So,
yes, sir. That's a great rule of thumb. I'm glad you said that because that's so true. I guess the only exception would be, and let me just ask before I say this, what is your age, if you don't mind?
Not at all. I'm 75.
Okay.
We're debt-free. We've got our 6 months of savings. I've got an income stream through my military retirement pay, Texas teacher retirement system, and Social Security. We followed all the good advice, and good Lord has blessed us with an ability to help others, and
yes,
which we really enjoy doing.
Yeah. Are you familiar with, and I'm thrilled to hear that, thanks for sharing that, are you familiar with the qualified charitable distribution?
Yes, I've been listening. We listen quite regularly. My wife is quite interested in it. We think that's probably something that we're going to do once we get resettled. We got six adopted grandkids in Montana, and we're in the process of moving up there.
Gotcha.
Lend a hand. So
okay.
Once we get the income stream figured out, I think that's an excellent way to do it, for all the reasons that you so wonderfully advocate. in a clear and concise manner.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thanks for that, Richard. Well, the only reason I mention it is with that inherited IRA, the QCD applies there as well. So you can pull that out once you're 70 and a half from the inherited IRA as well. So if you need to start drawing that down to comply with the required minimum rules, that is an option, and you could use it, as we've talked about before on the show, to replace giving you were already going to do after cash funds from checking or savings. But sounds like you're all over that. Good news is you don't have any capital gains. You're just going to have the ordinary income as it comes out, and I think having them withhold it is a great idea for the reasons you mentioned. You don't have to worry about it. You may owe a little bit more or a little bit less, but at least the bulk of it has already been taken care of and won't catch you by surprise. So I appreciate your call today, sir, and for your kind remarks about the program.
Well, the only request I would like is if Federal Treasury in Congress would listen to your show as part of a required educational process. I think we might get better decisions down the road.
Well, thank you.
That's for you to think about.
All right. I appreciate that. It's funny you say that. The business school at Liberty University, as a part of their financial planning classes, those undergraduate students seeking a degree in financial planning, they actually are required to listen to the show. But I don't know if we could get that all the way up to the halls of Congress or Treasury. It's noted, Richard, and you've been very kind today. I appreciate you calling and being on the program. You know, what's funny is Ron Blue, the popular author and teacher. He's one of my mentors. He's a frequent contributor here on the program. He actually testified before Congress in a Senate subcommittee one time on low-income Americans. And the senator asked him, I won't mention which one it was, Ron, what would you tell the average low-income American related to their finances? He said, well, Senator, I'd tell them to do four things. He said, I'd tell them to spend less than they earn, avoid the use of debt, set long-term goals, and have some margin or some liquidity. And the senator picked up his pencil and started writing those down. And he said, it strikes me that that would work at any income level. And Ron said, you're right, Senator, including the United States government. And, I think it's so true. You know, when we look at God's word and we think about these principles that we see in Scripture, you know, that I just mentioned, that we're to live within our income, that we're to avoid debt, because there's clear warnings that we should have some margin or some surplus, because that's how we accomplish our goals, that we should set long-term goals, because the longer term the perspective, the better the decision today. And Ron has since added one to that, and I would concur with this as well. Number five is give generously, because giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. And if we were to do those five things, we'll be in pretty good shape. And guess what? Those apply to nations as well as individuals. So something to think about today. All right, a quick break and back with much more, including your questions. Call right now with a financial question, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Loneliness is a growing problem. On the next Focus on the Family, a conversation with Ruth Graham, daughter of the late evangelist Billy Graham, about deepening your relationship with God and others in your loneliness. The good news is, you're never really alone. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's out, the brand new edition of the FaithFi app. It's FaithFi 4.0. Why would you want that? Well, it's all new. We got brand new themes in there. If you like dark mode, it's there. There's a new income plan allocation. This is one of the most requested features that our team has received, where as your income comes in, you can actually have a plan to allocate that based on the income. So if you get a check on a specific day, you can go and say, okay, when that check hits, automatically fund these envelopes at these amounts. And so you're not just funding on a date because your income may not hit that date. You're actually funding based on a specific piece of income when it hits. There's brand new reports in there. There's a new account reconciliation feature. There's even some really cool manual account colors where you can change the colors of some of the screens and updated forms. It's a fresh new look, but it's better than ever. So if you've not downloaded the FaithFi app and you want to check it out, just head to your app store and search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance, or go to our website, faithfi.com, and click app. It's more important now than ever. Julie and I use it every day to check in on our own spending plan. We look at our envelopes and we see how we're doing. We're constantly looking at that food envelope and just saying, how are we doing this month? What changes do we need to make? I guess we're eating at home tonight because we spent quite a bit this weekend. Well, we have the information to make those changes because we use the FaithFi app, and we'd love for you to do that as well. By the way, also in the app is all of these broadcast archives, all of our content from Randy Alcorn and Ron Blue and Howard Dayton and others, as well as the FaithFi community, where you can post a question, get an answer. Check it out. Just head to your app store and search for FaithFi, or go to our website, faithfi.com, and click app. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got some lines open today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now with your financial questions. Let's go to Louisiana. Hi, Pat. How can I help?
Good morning, Mr. West. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir. My question is, I'm a retired government worker, and I have TSP funds that I have not utilized. It's sitting there. But because of the current administration lack of caring for our country, I'm going to have to move that money. So I just need recommendations.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask how much you have in that account?
Not very much. It's only about $250K.
Okay. Well, that's quite a bit of money, if I do say so myself. You know, I'd love for you to go ahead and move that out of there and roll it to an IRA. And the best way to do that is to first decide, do you want to manage the money yourself, Or do you want to hire an advisor to do that? Because it is quite a bit of money and, you know, you've worked hard and long to set that aside and save it up. And so, you know, I would recommend that you have somebody who can understand your goals and objectives, your risk tolerance, what God's doing in your life in this season, how much income you need, and then develop an investment strategy to manage it. But you also have the option to manage it yourself if that's something you'd like to do. Have you considered that?
Yes, but I wanted to get as much information as possible. So I've gone through Dave Ramsey's class and continually trying to learn. And my husband and I were trying to be good stewards. And we believe in giving, you know, to Christian things that's going to promote and edify God and people.
Yes, ma'am. I love that. Well, I would encourage you to continue learning. And in fact, I'll send you a book called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook as our gift to you that will continue to encourage that learning. But what I would recommend as a part of your exploration of where to go next is to interview two or three certified Kingdom advisors there in Louisiana. If you want an advisor to help you manage this, what you would do is just head to our website at faithfi.com. And then right there at the top of the page, it'll say, find a professional. And when you click that, you can say you're looking for somebody to help you with investments. It'll ask you whether you want traditional investments or you want faith-based investments. Faith-based investments are just making sure that that certified Kingdom advisor can invest in a way that aligns with your values, if that's important to you. And then you'll get a list of the advisors that you could reach out to and interview. And again, I would probably interview two or three. Now, if you decided to go that direction, what would happen, to get back to your original question, is they would open an IRA, an individual retirement account, at whatever brokerage firm they work with. Could be Fidelity, could be Schwab, could be LPL, could be any number of them, Merrill Lynch. And then once that account's open, the advisor would help you fill out the TSP paperwork so that the TSP account would be rolled over into that IRA. And then once it got there, the advisor could begin managing it. That is not a taxable event. But if you are going to go that route, I would select the advisor first, because you'll want that advisor to open the IRA that eventually is going to receive the TSP funds. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Now, okay. Even though I'm 69 and a half, well, three quarters, and and so the age, will that impact getting this IRA?
No, ma'am. It doesn't at all. So if you're over 59 and a half, you can pull the money out without there being a penalty on it. But it, you know, with you rolling it to an IRA, there is no tax created by that. So there's no penalty. There's no tax due. The only time you're going to pay tax is when you pull the money out, when you withdraw it and take a distribution. But a rollover from a TSP to an IRA is not a distribution. So therefore, it's not a taxable event. And then when you decide you want to start pulling some money out, maybe you want to, you know, start to pull an income stream. I mean, I'd have you start to think about maybe in terms of no more than 4% a year. So, you know, that's $10,000 on $250,000, you know, which is $830 a month. So if you called your advisor and you said, listen, I want you to send me $800 a month. Well, that $800 a month, you know, times 12, that $10,000 would be added to your taxable income for the year. You'd pay tax on it, but you don't pay tax until you take it out, and that's your decision when you take it out.
Okay, so longevity-wise, I mean, how long could it stay there? Oh, what about my kids, you know, my kids are something. If I keep the bucket, you know, go home with Jesus, a trust fund or something like that, so the IRA can roll into a trust fund? Can you do that?
You could make the trust the beneficiary of the IRA. You could also make your kids the beneficiary of the IRA directly without using a trust, so you wouldn't have to use a trust. In fact, you should, on your TSP and or your IRA, if you move to an IRA, you should make sure that you have your beneficiaries updated. So you may want your husband as the primary, and then you may want the kids as contingent, meaning if something happened to you and your husband at the same time, then it goes to the kids and you would determine what percent each of them receive. And then they would receive it as an inherited IRA. And then as they pulled the money out, they would pay tax on it. But here, you know, the reason I mentioned the 4% withdrawal rate is that, you know, as long as it's invested properly, and that's why I'd use an advisor, you should be able to maintain that $250,000 balance over time and pull out $800 a month and, you know, still, you know, protect the principal. And so the idea would be, you know, maybe the Lord has you living to age 95 or more. Hopefully there's still $250,000 or more, even with you pulling $10,000 a year. But the key is you got to get it invested. Does that make sense?
Okay. Thank you. I have to send you a pound post. Yes, this is great.
All right, great. Thank you for calling, Pat. You're a sweet lady, and I appreciate you being on the program today. Again, to find an advisor, just head to our website, faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional. Bob Dahl, plus more of your questions just around the corner, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
You should never really have to be tormented by the fear of death. There are only two ways you can ever face the future, no matter what it is. You can face the future by faith, or you can face the future in fear. And if you know the Word of God, you will not have to be afraid.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Great Disappearance, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Lines are open. We're ready for your questions. 800-525-7000. Hey, we look forward each week to being joined by our good friend Bob Dahl. He's Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly investment commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, good morning to you.
And to you, my friend.
Hey, before we get into the serious stuff, GameStop, I mean, what in the world? Will you explain to our listeners what's going on there?
It's not incredible. Look, we had this several years ago, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. The main stocks led by GameStop, investors, a group of them that are playing in the market, I'll call it that, speculating, bought the stock to push it up, and because the stocks that they're picking on have high short interest, it's forcing shorts to cover, which creates more buying power, so it reinforces itself, and we see a flagpole straight up. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it really is, and obviously your warning to anybody listening here would be to stay far away from it, right?
Exactly, because it's, first of all, it's not based in logic, and therefore it's really difficult to suggest what one should do. Now that the stock is up, is it a better short than it was before? Well, maybe I'll go short it, and then there's more buying power that pushes it higher, and I get stopped out of my short. It's bizarre.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you have no idea what we're talking about, just type GameStop into your search engine and you can read all about it. All right, Bob, 80% of the S&P 500 companies have reported earnings. Give us an update.
Yeah, good earnings. That they've come in generally better than expected. If we're to pick on anything, revenues weren't as strong, which means margins are pretty good. Again, if I want to pick on it, I'd like to see when numbers come in good, lots of upward revisions for estimates, and that's not happened. So to the extent a company reports better than expected in the first quarter and the full year's not taken up, it means the analysts are taking that overage out of the second, third, and fourth quarters, if you understand what I'm saying. So good overall, but a few things to pick on at the margin.
Yeah, no question about it. Obviously, some new inflation data out today. Market has been roaring. I mean, here we are now on the Dow, you know, back at halfway between 39,000 and 40,000. And yet, once again, we were reminded that this inflation is not gone, right?
Correct. The inflation number was a lot worse than expected. Now the bull would turn around quickly and say, but yeah, but last month was revised down. And that's true. If you put the two numbers together, they're about on consensus, which is why the market's not reacting significantly. But Rob, I take you back to last Friday. The widely watched University of Michigan consumer sentiment numbers were reported, and the sentiment of consumers fell more than expected. And it's not just the lower end. Now mid-income consumers' confidence is declining. We need to watch that carefully. And at the same time, that same survey showed inflation expectations moving higher. So these are two data points that are a bit troublesome to me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bob, in terms of the case just for the strength of the U.S. economy longer term, I know you hit on two big ideas related to that, and I'd love for you to comment on each of them. One is the generational wealth transfer. You know, we know this huge number that's being cited, you know, somewhere between $50 and $70 trillion going to change hands in the next decade or so. And then the other is just the longer-term implications of artificial intelligence on our economy. Talk about just how significant each of those are toward offsetting some of the challenges we have in this country.
Yeah, the wealth transfer is in process. It's slow, it's steady, it's not really seen day by day. The point I made in our deliberations this week is that it's very concentrated and it's highly real estate dependent. So, you know, a family has a lot of money, but a lot of it's tied up in that mansion they bought years ago at a very low price. So this is happening, but it's slow. AI, a lot more promise there. We're already seeing information technology, healthcare technology, energy technology improving as a result of AI. And so if that can make our economy more productive, that means we need fewer dollars of labor and materials to go into producing a unit of economic growth. And so therefore, this is a positive. And more to come as so many developments in AI, as anybody that's in touch with the market sees almost daily. So this is a hope for keeping our economy moving while our population isn't growing because we're not having enough babies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so we've certainly got some headwinds, but the resiliency of the American economy on top of some of these advances in technology, which create, you know, make the case for this being a, you know, us having a bright future here just because of how exciting what's happening is encouraging, I guess, to say the least. Bob, let's finish today with perhaps the case to be made on either side, both for the bulls and the bears, and then perhaps where you come down.
Sure. The bulls are focusing on earnings growth and how good it is, a belief that inflation is contained, and this AI theme that we just pointed out. The bears say, not so fast. Inflation's sticky. It's not coming down. And therefore, the Fed's not going to ease anytime soon. And we're seeing lower end, maybe now mid-level consumers beginning to struggle. Earnings estimates too high, and the markets are expensive. And there is the divide between the two. You know I've been cautious. I'm not a bear, but I have an easier time making the down 10% case for the stock, upper 10% case. So I hope I'm proven wrong, but that's my concern.
All right.
Bob, let's finish today with just the opportunity in faith-based or values-based investing. And, you know, whether or not this involves us paying a price in the form of lower returns if we want to invest with our values. And I'm not saying even if we do, we should go that we should avoid it. But what is the case to be made there?
Yeah, on the returns, there is enough empirical evidence now out, Rob, as you know, that shows that if you line up your portfolios, your investments with your values, with your faith, there is not a give up. It's not the same return every month or every quarter or even every year, but over time, the returns are virtually identical. And so that concern is moved away. A lot of it's still education. I'm at a conference right now and talking about what we at Crossmark do, and I have people come up to me, I never heard of this before. These are financial advisors. Getting the word out that you can line up all of your life with your values and your faith, but especially as it relates to your investments.
Well said. All right, Bob, we always appreciate your time, my friend. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk next week. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. By the way, while you're there, sign up for his weekly investment commentary called Dahl's Deliberations. Folks, we're headed toward the end of the broadcast today. You know, we started today with some of the mistakes that the wealthy make and learning from those mistakes. You know, when we talk about the things not the things we should avoid, but the things we should do, we go back to God's word, Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You know, you've heard us say that there's more than 2,300 verses related to money and possessions, and the depth and the breadth of the financial wisdom found in God's word is just staggering. And so we go there and we start with the idea and the understanding that God owns everything. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. We look at the creation account and we see God created, and we're to then be productive and to take God's creation and improve it. So we should work hard. And that's, of course, an important character or value that we need to transfer to the next generation. But then when it comes to money, we see money as one of God's good creations to provide and enjoy, and yes, to give away, to be a part of God's activity. And then we look into Scripture and we look for principles that we can pull out about those daily money management decisions, starting with spending less than we earn. And I would take you to Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul, in verses 11 and 12. He said, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know what it is to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So the Apostle Paul learned to be content with God's provision, with God's timing, with whatever was going on around him. We need to learn from that model and say, okay, Lord, we're willing to live within your means. And by the way, practically, reducing your living expenses is often the quickest way to increase cash flow. So that one is really non-negotiable. I think next, we need to understand that borrowing is not a sin, but we've got to be careful. Remember, the rich rule over the poor, says Proverbs 22, and the borrower is slave to the lender. So borrowing always presumes upon the future. We just need to really be on our guard there. We also need to be setting goals. Proverbs 16, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Prayerfully setting goals is the way that you commit your work to the Lord when you say, not my will, but your will be done. We need to seek godly counsel. That's really important. We also need to define enough, both for net worth and for our spending, our lifestyle spending as well. And that's a really important point we need to really heed. Proverbs 23, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. So I hope and pray that you would take these principles and passages from God's word, think about them, form your own convictions, and then act. as you're a faithful steward of God's money. Hey, a quick reminder today, if you haven't downloaded the brand new Faith Fi 4.0, our app for you to manage God's money, do it at our website, faithfi.com. Just click app. Also, if you'd like to support our work, this is a really important time between now and June the 30th when we close out our fiscal year. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. On behalf of my team today, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.